And good morning and welcome back to your day after Thanksgiving. And yes, technical difficulties right off the bat this morning as we kind of get the show underway. You know, those things happen. You know, everybody's been off on vacation, a little sluggish coming back. You know, just even the equipment's like, whatever. anyway, good morning. I'm your host, Lance Roberts. Welcome to the show this morning. And again, it is our first week of December as we get the day underway. Big hopes today, of course. This is Cyber Monday retail sales over the Black Friday holiday. Now, again, you got to be a little bit careful now with this whole Black Friday sales thing, because Black Friday used to be, well, Black Friday. And after Thanksgiving, we would all eat a lot, indulge on Thanksgiving, and then on Friday morning, go out and shop. Well, now I know Black Friday's been stretched back to actually Wednesday. Sales actually started on Wednesday, went through Thursday, and of course, stores were open Thursday now for Thanksgiving, and then into Friday. But in-store sales actually dropping by about 6% over the course of this, you know, particular retail shopping spread that we saw over the last few days. So less people actually showing up at malls, actually going to retail stores, and you know, that's part of that ongoing shift to people basically buying more stuff online. And look, I agree. I mean, my wife and I did a lot of shopping for our kids on a Friday and on Thursday as well to pick up on some deals on things they wanted. But you know, I'm not going to the mall to fight those lines and crowds. It's just not me. But it is interesting because if you take a look at retail sales, and there's a bunch of headlines out today, retail sales hit a record high. And, you know, this is awesome, right? In fact, Fox News tweeting out record sales in the Trump economy for retail. Well, the only problem with the numbers are, and you just have to take this in consideration, is that, yes, retail sales overall, this is including in-store and online, were slightly higher than they were last year. But what people don't talk about is the impact of inflation, higher cost of products, and the fact that we have more population. So you really have to kind of look at these numbers and look at them in a way that takes into account both inflation, which just costs us more. We were talking about Christmas trees on last week. You know, the cost of a Christmas tree is almost doubled over the last decade. That's inflation, right? So you buy the same tree a decade later, you pay twice as much. So when you start to account for things in retail sales and looking at what's happening, you have to take into account inflation and the fact that the population is now larger. So as the population grows, you have more demand for retail. So overall, if you take a look at retail sales, they were really, once you adjust for population growth and inflation, about the same as they were last year. And that's really about the way it is most years, right? People are just not really buying more stuff. They're kind of buying the same stuff, paying more for it. But again, you when you look at it from an inflation-adjusted population basis, you know, you get what you kind of expect, is that people are kind of producing the same amount of purchasing every year for the most part in terms of buying the same quantities of things, and it's just costing more and you've got more people buying them. So anyway, keep a watch on retail sales. I think we're going to see some interesting numbers, and particularly when we get the revisions of those numbers, might actually come back showing us a little bit weaker expectation of what actually happened. Today, of course, is Cyber Monday. And that means that, well, everybody's going to really be shopping online today for all the Cyber Monday retail sales. So now a couple of words of caution. Be careful about what you buy online. Two things you want to be careful of shopping online today, of course, is fake reviews. Lots of fake reviews going online to try to lure people to buy products that may or may not be so good. So make sure you double check on what you buy. And more importantly, make sure you check on where you're getting it from. To make sure that the shipper is legitimate. The second thing is, of course, is that not every deal online is actually that great of a deal. So make sure that you do some comparison shopping as well. Best Buy, as an example, has a price match guarantee. If you find something cheaper at Amazon, show up at Best Buy and say, look, this is what Amazon's opening for. They will match it right there in the store. So do a little bit of shopping comparison. You may get better deals and save some extra money. So again, but that's all part of shopping, and this is what's going on. We're in that time of the year. And of course, we just got through with the week of Thanksgiving. My kids finally going back to school again today. They're very depressed because they're going to be out of school again in 3 weeks. So they're like, why do we have to go back? We're going to be out again in 3 weeks. It's like, yeah, this thing called finals. So get to studying, kids. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's where it is. So anyway, a few things to cover with the relative to the markets here. Big news out over the weekend, actually two things concerning trade. First of all, China has now come back. Now, this was in the headlines, but nobody's really paying much attention to this at the moment. China has said no phase one trade deal unless Trump rolls back all tariffs. Now, this was not part of the deal. The original phase one trade deal we were supposed to put together here was simply a delay or a removal of the new tariffs that were supposed to start December the 15th in exchange for getting this trade one, this phase one trade deal signed. Now, what China's saying now is no. And this is basically what we've written about several times and talked about here before, is that China's not going to give in quietly because they don't really have any reason to. And so now they're coming back saying, yeah, well, you know, you really need this phase one trade deal, Mr. Trump. So if you want that deal, you're going to need to roll back all the tariffs that you've imposed on us since this began, and then we'll sign the phase one trade deal. This is very typical of China. Now, that's really kind of falling away for outside of the headlines this morning. The markets haven't really picked up on it yet. But the other side of this is that Trump this morning has now thrown tariffs back on to South America, to Brazil and Argentina, particularly on steel imports. Why is that? Well, the reason that he's imposing tariffs back on China, on Brazil and Argentina is because they've been actually signing trade deals with China to give them product that they need. So, and again, we've talked about this on the show previously, which is that China has options to buy outside of the U.S. We are not the only supplier of agricultural products. They signed a big deal for soybean meal and others with other countries, steel products, etc. So they can circumvent the impact of tariffs on China by buying their products elsewhere. And that's, of course, not good for the U.S. because that's less of buying, that's less exports for the U.S. And so in kind of retaliation here, Trump is now imposing tariffs back on, reinstating tariffs back on steel imports from Argentina and Brazil. Now, the point here is that we are back into this trade deal. We are back to the point to where this is about to start ramping up again. Markets have been rallying here over the course of the last few weeks, in particular because of the Fed, right? Their QE, not QE program. But there's also been hopes that this trade deal was going to get put away. There's a real risk here that the trade war is about to ramp back up. So watch this. We've talked about the fact that in the second week of December, we typically get selling in the markets. And the markets right now remain still very, very overbought here. So there's a lot of risk to prices in the short term. Okay, we're going to be right back. Pick up with this story and a lot more right here on the Real Investment Show this morning. I'm your host, Lance Roberts. Don't go away.
Real Investment Show podcasts are now available from Stitcher Smart Radio. Listen anyplace, anytime at Stitcher.com.
2019 is drawing to a close. Get ready for a successful 2020 with RIA Advisor's free financial planning tool, MyBlock. It's our online modular manager for your money and your life. Does your vision of retirement match up to reality? MyBlocks can help determine how much you'll need and how you can achieve. What worries you about your money? Create your own personal financial vision for the next decade with MyBlocks, our free tool at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the client portal tab, RIAAdvisors.com.
Well, you know, we'll try it again here. Good morning, and welcome back to the Real Investment Show. I'm your host, Lance Roberts.
If it's electronic, it will fail.
At some point, yes. So we're just talking about that it's a big online shopping day today. Everybody will be shopping online, Cyber Monday, all these good deals. You got all your shopping done yet?
I was holding off until today.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've got most of it done, but it doesn't hurt to look around.
No, it doesn't. Look, I mean, it's, my kids are at that point now to where all they want is technology.
Yeah.
They're just that age. And so, we were online this weekend and, looking for the little, things. I'm not going to say it on the air because they listen to the show. But, looking for things that they have asked for, right?
Yeah.
And,
Well, when you have grandkids.
And it's amazing. There's actually some pretty good deals out there.
Tiny Tykes and
Yeah. I know, you
play
know,
school.
I am getting to that age, right, to where my kids are getting older.
Yeah.
And my wife and I were actually talking about this while we were online, you know, getting shopping done, that, you know, kind of reminiscing a bit. That, you know, it used to be buying, you know, little fun toys and things like that. And I kind of got to be a kid again, right?
Yes.
I got to play with my kids' Legos all this. And yeah, mm-hmm. you know, it's good stuff. And so I kind of missed that. We were reminiscing about that. And then the conversation of grandkids came up. And it's like, yeah, but wait till we have grandkids. Because then we can buy all the toys that make all the noise, right? Mm-hmm. And just chip
and send them home.
Send them home with them. So we're going to be, I'm going to be very vicious about that. That's going to be, what toy makes the most possible noise?
Well, right? Well, my son is already thinking about how can he get a drum kit for his, for our one-year-old grandson.
Dice. You know, they have the drum pads.
Yeah, no.
He wants the actual drum kit.
The actual, yes, animal skins stretched tightly over drums.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the most noise possible, yes. So that will be done.
And 17 crash cymbals.
My wife and I, so this weekend was my wife's birthday.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
It's her annual revisiting of her 39th birthday.
I saw the fireworks.
Yes. And so we had a great time, went to dinner,
mm-hmm.
Took all the kids to dinner. And I'll tell you what, it is getting so expensive to dine out.
Take out a loan?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's getting kind of ridiculous. But we decided on Sunday, we're kind of sitting around on Sunday and trying to figure out something to do. And we went and saw the new movie, Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh, yeah.
With Matt Damon and Christian Bale. It is well worth seeing. First of all, I'm a history buff and I love cars. So mm-hmm. it's two things, you know, kind
win,
of two
win.
Things. Yeah, it was a win-win. But it really, it's a really well done movie. And, you know, the racing scenes are literally, my daughter was sitting next to me with her hands over her eyes because she, and literally we were leaving the theater and my kids are going, I was so stressed out.
It's like the West Loop 610 on Friday afternoon.
It pretty much was. But really, if you want a good movie to go see, want to get out of the house for a couple hours, it's almost a 3-hour movie.
It's
fairly long.
That's a 2-tub popcorn film.
Yeah, it could be, and a bathroom break. But no, it was really, really well done. And again, if you're a history and a car buff, it's it's a true story. I mean, it's a true story about Carroll Shelby and Max.
That guy.
I can't believe I just forgot. I was just on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, he was inducted into the Racing Hall of Fame for his efforts. So, but anyway, just a great movie. So, again, if you want to go see something, it's worth doing. And, you know, it's one of the few movies you can go see without a bunch of gratuitous violence and sex and language.
Were people nuts? Pulling out of the parking lot afterwards. You know how you get inspired by the movie?
Yeah. You know, there was a lot of Mustangs in the parking lot.
I'll bet.
A lot of Mustangs.
Have you seen this electric Mustang?
Yes.
That they've come out with?
Yes, it is very nice.
It's faster than a gasoline-powered Mustang.
Oh, yeah. It's all torque.
0 to 60 in 2 seconds, baby.
Yeah, I know. So... No, it's the electric vehicles are amazing.
You know who that's going to be a boom for? Is tire manufacturers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're going to roach out a set of tires in no time with one of those.
But that's the thing with all these cars. You know, the Porsche and Ford, now there's several more that are coming online mm-hmm. this year. And again, they are all because of the you know, getting the torque to the tires through electric transmission, you know, it's so fast and quick mm-hmm. that, you know, yeah, you can.
It's practically instantaneous.
It is. And so 0 to 60 times are going to come way down.
And you're right. They've let Tesla make all the mistakes.
Right.
And broach that kind of transportation into the marketplace. And now the rest of the guys are going to come in and fill in the gaps.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, the big mistake that Tesla did was that, you know, he released all his information, put it at free access, right? There were no patents on it. So people didn't have to wait 7 years to go to develop an electric motor because it was all right there.
Yeah.
So they let you know, Tesla do all the R&D
mm-hmm.
and then basically just say, okay, well, that's, we can improve on this.
Yeah.
And develop a new vehicle. And that's actually the very interesting part about the movie with Ford and Ferrari is when they decide to build this car. They want to get it to the race, and so they use a GT40 that was manufactured in England, brought it over, and then started just figuring out everything that was wrong with the car.
Yeah.
To build the car, right? And so, you know, it's kind of the same thing here, is that you let somebody else make all the mistakes with it and bring it over and say, okay, what can we do to fix it? And it was interesting, too, because this new Cybertruck that Tesla's released.
Oh, it's horrid.
It's going to find fans.
It has.
Yeah, it's going to find fans.
I'm not one of them.
But, I mean, even Elon Musk over the weekend said he did zero market research. He just decided to make a truck and was going to build it.
It shows.
Yeah. Might want to ask Ford about trucks.
Have you seen the pictures of the jacked up Tesla
truck? Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and the best one over the weekend, did you see the soft drink commercial?
No.
Where they try to bounce the steel ball off of it?
No.
You know, like the Tesla test?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Steel ball doesn't go through. It bounces right off the can.
Nice.
Which is what should have happened.
Exactly. So, anyway, go see the movie. You'll enjoy it if you need something to do. Mm-hmm. All right, so look, got stuff to get into this morning. I was just talking about a few seconds ago in the first segment, talking a little bit about what's happening with these tariffs. Now, the issue with tariffs, again, is that, you know, they weigh on economic growth. And, you know, the problem is that tariffs are a tax, and this is kind of the big issue. Now, the markets don't really seem to care about this right now because the big news is still simply the Federal Reserve is in buying bonds that provides liquidity to the markets. That brings market prices up. But market prices are very, very extended in the short term here. So we've got a couple of things coming up in the next 2 weeks, right? So this is the first day of December, trading day of December. December typically tends to be a strong month for the market. So again, traders kind of excited. Also the fact that a lot of portfolio managers, mutual funds, et cetera, need to have all their positions on the books by the end of the year because this is the last month of the quarter. So they'll be reporting their quarterly holdings at the end of the month. So you'll see buying and rebalancing of portfolios. But starting really tomorrow and moving into the second week of the month, and this really clusters around the second week of December, is that mutual funds, and this is something we talk about every year, and we'll remind you of this, mutual funds distribute capital gains, dividends, and interest from all their funds as they are required to do on an annual basis. Now, after a big run-up this year, they've got lots of capital gains to distribute. So that means they have to sell assets in order to make those distributions to you. Now, if you own mutual funds, be prepared because you're about to see a big drop in your fund. And I'm going to start getting emails here about why did my fund go down by a dollar and change, right? This happens every year. And I get the same emails from the same people every year asking the same question. And the answer is always the same. If I'm a mutual fund and my mutual fund is valued at $10 a share, and I distribute a dollar's worth of gains and dividends, I've got to take it out of the fund. So the value of my fund is going to fall from $10 to $9. Now, it takes a few days. It's not instantaneous, but it takes a few days for that check to arrive into your account. By the time they go through the process of the distribution, they get the wire set up, they wire you the money to your account, whatever it is. or you do the dividend, reinvest those dividends, it takes a couple of days. So what's going to happen is, what's going to happen here is you're going to see your fund fall from $10 to $9. You're going to email me going, why did my fund go down in value? I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell you every year, which is that's the capital gains dividends and interest distribution. And in a couple of days, it'll all fix itself, because it'll all get rebalanced back into your account because you'll get the distribution. But it takes a couple of days. So don't freak out. This happens every year. And I get the same email from the same people every year. So it's like our annual, it's like Merry Christmas. So it happens every year. But anyway, this is going to happen. Now, those distributions, though, again, things have to be sold in order to make those distributions. And so generally what you'll see is you'll see some pickup in volatility here, potentially a little bit of selling. And with the markets as extended as they are right now, it is very likely we're going to see a bit of a correction here. Now, this is going to be blamed on a whole lot of things, right? You know, we'll get if there's any ramp up in the trade issues, it'll be blamed on that. This week is the impeachment thing, so it could be blamed on that. There'll be lots of reasons why the market blames the sell-off. The reality of it is simply funds have to make their distribution. So expect a little bit of volatility pickup here. Expect a little bit of a sell-off. It won't be surprising if that occurs. And again, that's just kind of the normal process here. But again, overall, the month of December tends to be good. And unless this trade situation really kind of gets out of hand here very shortly, no reason that stocks shouldn't actually pick up by the end of the year again as we try to wrap up a good year. So anyway, that's where we are. We'll come back after the break. Pick up some other stories. I'm your host, Lance Roberts. Don't go away.
Real Investment Show podcasts are now available on iTunes.
Listen anyplace, anytime
at iTunes.com.
2019 is drawing to a close. Get ready for a successful 2020 with our RIA advisor's free financial planning tool, MyBlocks. It's our online modular manager for your money and your life. Does your vision of retirement match up to reality? MyBlocks can help to determine how much you'll need and how you can achieve. What worries you about your money? Create your own personal financial vision for the next decade with MyBlocks, our free tool at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the client portal tab, RIAAdvisors.com.
And welcome back to the show this morning. I'm your host, Lance Roberts. You know, I always like those stories about people who like go up in their attic and they find some, you know, you know, like watercolor painting that
Monet.
Yeah, it turns out to be a Monet or a Rembrandt, something like that.
Yeah.
So have you watched those? Have you watched those shows on television where they go and they bid on storage units?
It's called Storage Wars. Yeah, right.
You've seen this?
People just forget they got junk. And
yeah, or they, you know, they don't pay their bill for their storage unit, and then so
you
basically
can get the whole thing lock, stock, and barrel for $100.
Exactly,
or less.
I mean, just sometimes they'll pay four or five. You know, I've seen them go for $1,000, and then. It's kind of a blind auction thing, right? So you bid on something, you don't know what you're actually going to get, and in some cases it turns out to be a gold mine, some like cases kind of a bust.
Like Al Capone's safe.
Yeah, exactly. So this couple actually did that.
Mm-hmm.
This happened back in 1989.
Okay.
This couple paid $100 for a storage unit. They didn't know what was in it. Paid $100 for it.
Yeah.
Now, 1989 was a lot of money for a storage unit, right?
Remember where this was?
It was in New York, Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was up in Long Island. So they paid $100 for this unclaimed storage unit. So they go in, they start, you know, tossing off the blankets and the trash that's in the unit, and they uncover this car. It's a Lotus.
Really?
Yeah. And so they get this car's all dented and dinged up. And
yeah, but it's
kind of a
Lotus.
Mess. But it's a Lotus, right?
Yes.
And so they loaded it up on the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And they were hauling the car back to their house, and they started getting calls over the CB unit. This is 1989, by the way.
Hey, right? Rupper Ducky.
They didn't have cell phones back then. So, yeah, CBs. So they got these calls over the CB radio that they were hauling James Bond's car.
Really?
And it was the Lotus from The Spy Who Loved Me.
Really?
And the guy had never even seen the movie. Right.
How did that get in a storage shed in New York?
Though it was one of like six that they used for the movie.
Okay.
And so, you know, after the movie, they sell them off.
Yeah.
They sell the cars off if they haven't blown them up or whatever.
Spare parts.
Exactly. You know, so they sell the cars off. And so this whoever owned the storage unit had bought the car, stored it in the unit.
Yeah.
So apparently he knew what he had. Right. And then for some reason, maybe he died or something happened anyway. So the car winds up in this unit.
Mm-hmm.
And the couple that bought it, they had never seen the movie. So he goes out and he rents a VHS tape of the movie, reminding you that this is
1989.
This is where we were in the midst of the VHS Betamax war.
Yes.
the great war of 1999.
Oh my gosh, the world was going to come to an end.
Exactly. VHS versus Betamax. Who's going to win? Oh my God, I've got all these beta tapes and VHS wins. Anyway, way back then. So anyway, they wind up, they buy this car. Anyway, so they restored it cosmetically, and mm-hmm. they wind up, you know, kind of shipping it around and taking it to shows and showing it off.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk bought it for $1 million at auction.
Really?
Yeah. $1 million. So that's how you turn $100 into $1 million.
Is he going to put an electric motor in it?
You know.
He's just nutty enough to do that.
We'll see. We'll see. But anyway, it was bought by auction in 2013. For $1 million.
Wow.
So, but yeah, but pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That is a piece of history.
And then now, if you remember, now, there's probably not a lot of people that have seen the movie, The Spy Who Loved Me. You know, you youngsters.
Is that the one with Barbara Bach?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's the one where, so the Lotus is the one that goes into the water
yes.
and turns into a submarine.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
That's what Elon's going to do with it. It'll be an electric-powered submarine
exactly.
car.
Exactly. He's going to put the fins on it, and there you go. But, yeah, so there you go. But anyway, interesting story. But, yeah, I love those things where people find stuff, you know, unique
yeah.
treasures.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. Anyway. So we were talking about the trade situation earlier, and, of course, you know, one of the things that's going on today is that Trump is now – reinstating tariffs on South America. Why? And we talked about this in the opening kind of monologue of the show, which is why would you put tariffs back on South America, right? Particularly Brazil and Argentina. And this is on steel imports coming into the U.S. from those two countries. And so I thought we had most of this kind of, you know, agreed to and organized and all this, and that was kind of behind us. Well, now we're going to reinstate tariffs on those steel products from those countries. Well, the reason is that Argentina, Brazil, other countries in South America have been signing trade deals with China to give them soy meal and other products that they need that they were getting from the U.S. So, and this is something we warned about months ago. We wrote about the fact that trade in the world today is a very flat, interconnected world, right? So if you have a product that you want to sell in the U.S. and you charge substantially more for that product than other countries, well, I can go buy it somewhere else, right? There's nothing that stops me or prohibits me anymore from being able to buy products from anywhere in the world. So if I'm sourcing a product from the U.S. because of cost, efficiency, convenience, whatever it is, if any of those situations change, you know, cost, efficiency, convenience, if those change for the worse, well, I simply go somewhere else to get it. It's just like you, right? If you go online today to Amazon and find a product that you want, but it costs more than you're willing to pay, or if you see it cheaper over at Best Buy, what do? Well, you go buy it at Best Buy, right? And that's the way the world works globally, which is, it is so easy and convenient today to source products, have it shipped because of technology and productivity advances that we've made, that we're much more interconnected globally than we've ever been in the past, which makes it very easy to source shipments from anywhere else in the world. So the problem with, you know, imposing tariffs and these type of things, that at some point countries just simply say, well, great, I just won't buy from you anymore. I can go buy the same product somewhere else at a cheaper price because they don't have tariffs, right? And that's what China did. China has sourced out deals for soy meal, for pork, for other products that they desperately need. They're just buying it elsewhere. And that's the issue that's going on here. And so what Trump is doing here is impacting South America, Brazil, and Argentina because the fact that they're selling product to China, which is taking the pressure off of China to do a trade deal. The whole gist of the trade deal was we were going to put a lot of pressure on China, make them obey our will, and then they were, because of all this pressure economically we were going to apply to them, they were going to have to give in to doing this trade deal. Well, now that Brazil and Argentina are selling product to China, it takes the pressure off. And this allows China room to maneuver and to do things like they have done now, which is, well, if you want this phase one trade deal, you're going to have to not only just agree to not increase tariffs further and impose these new tariffs on December the 15th, you're now going to have to agree to, well, remove all tariffs that you put on up to this point. Now, the problem with that for Trump is that the whole purpose of the tariffs was to create this trade deal in total, not a phase one, not a phase two, phase three, a total trade deal, right? So you agree to a total trade deal, which gives U.S. access to China, which gives access, to products and services, which removes the IP theft situation that's occurring in China. And you do all that, then we'll remove tariffs. And that's not what this deal is. So the phase one trade deal is simply just saying, hey, you know what, we'll agree to the easy stuff, but we've got bigger issues to work out. So, you know, now this puts Trump into a really tough situation, because if he now kind of comes back and says, hey, no, not only am I not going to remove the previous tariffs, but hey, there's no phase one trade deal, and I'm now hiking tariffs again on the 15th, all this support that's been going on now for the last several months for the markets and for, you know, optimism on a trade deal, that's going to go away very quickly. There's a risk. So pay attention to what that risk is. You know, and this is, another kind of these headlines that kind of went through, you know, the cracks over the holiday, was that China has now imposed new demands and new laws on access to technology, which is simply that China now has access to see everything, right? So if you've got a server in China, if you've got any data you store in China, if you're a Chinese company that's operating in China and you've got data on your servers, nothing is sacred from the Chinese government. They have the right now to see everything. So if there's an issue of technology on there or whatever, China has access to it. So this is not increasing technology safety of U.S. companies that operate in China. It's actually increasing the probability of more theft. So, again, nobody actually even talked about that over the weekend very much, but it was one of these headlines that just kind of floated past, and nobody even really paid much attention to it. But this is all part of this whole problem with trade, which is that Trump has now got to make a very tough call. He's got to say, hey, this isn't the deal I signed up for. The phase one trade deal was simply this. And for doing this phase one trade deal, which was the easy stuff, I will agree not to increase tariffs further on December the 15th. Now you're wanting me to give you everything in exchange for just a phase one trade deal, which means that if I give you everything, there's no ability to negotiate further, right? We're done. And that's not going to set well with the Trump base either, because that's not what the Trump base has been told that they were going to get out of this deal. So Trump's going to be in a very tough situation. We'll see what happens. Also this week is the more hearings on impeachment and that whole vote process on the impeachment of President Trump. That's all happening this week. So lots of stuff going on. Be back after the break. I'm your host, Lance Roberts. Don't go away.
Get daily investment news you can use, delivered at the speed of the internet. Sign up for the Real Investment Report now at realinvestmentadvice.com.
2019 is drawing to a close. Get ready for a successful 2020 with RIA Advisor's free financial planning tool, MyBlock. It's our online modular manager for your money and your life. Does your vision of retirement match up to reality? MyBlocks can help determine how much you'll need and how you can achieve. What worries you about your money? Create your own personal financial vision for the next decade with MyBlock, our free tool at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the client portal tab. RIAAdvisors.com.
At 6:48, as we get ready to wrap up this Monday edition, this back from Thanksgiving holiday break edition of the show. And as we get into the month of December, it is, you know, we were talking about just a couple months ago that Christmas was going to be here before you knew it.
Yeah.
And it's here, right? I mean, it's just amazing how fast the last couple of months have gone by.
Hide and watch.
Yeah, I know, right? So it's all happening. Everybody's gearing up this morning. Everybody's doing their finger flexing, getting ready to go online for Cyber Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Stretching. Don't want to get carpal tunnel.
Limbering up your wrists.
Exactly.
And your mouth. Finger.
Feeding the mice, right?
So fresh batteries.
Yeah, the only thing that would make this better is they just turned the whole thing into an auction, right? So you can't just buy what you want anymore. You got to bid on it, and you got to get in the last second. Let's make it all like Thunderdome for online shopping.
Speaking of Thunderdome, did you see the video clips of all the fights on Friday?
Oh no, it's crazy.
Oh my,
that's another reason why even go to the mall to put up with that nonsense,
or any other store for that matter.
Stores, right?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's just there's just nothing that important.
My wife wanted to send me to the store on Friday for something. I said no way, I'm not going in there.
The only time I went to the store over the last week was on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I went to the store to pick up a few things for, you know, Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
Because our whole family went up to my wife's aunt has a ranch, like a little ranch house mm-hmm. up in Burton,
yes.
outside of Brenham.
Love it.
So we went up there and just the whole family kind of got together. The, you know, dogs are running out in the field, in the pasture. So my wife and daughter went and did the turkey trot.
Oh, really?
Downtown on Thursday morning. So
they drove in for that?
They drove in for the turkey trot, ran their 3 miles,
then drove
back out. But it was interesting because, you know, they love doing that. That's like their thing. I run every day.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hate running. There's nothing fun about running.
No.
You know, just I do it to stay in shape and to be healthy and that type of thing. But you know, the entire time I'm running, I'm like, I hate this. They actually enjoy this running thing. I don't know why they enjoy it, but they think it's fun.
You're
right?
Down there cursing the treadmill.
Exactly. They think it's fun to run. I can't imagine why. But yeah, they did that, and then we drove up to Burton and hung out there for Thanksgiving, and everybody ate way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And why mm-hmm. is it that when you have one vegan person in the family that the entire Thanksgiving dinner is catered around that one person that's vegan? And by the way, let me straighten something out for everybody. Vegan and vegetarian are the same thing. Why do I say that? So if you're vegetarian, right, what you're being told is that, well, I'm vegetarian, but I eat eggs and milk. Right, so I have some dairy product, and I'm vegetarian. If you're vegan, you have no eggs or dairy product.
Nothing produced by other animals.
And that is incorrect, right? Vegan is just short for vegetarian, okay? If you're an...
And for the longest time, I thought it was people with pointy ears.
Yeah.
May the force be with you.
That's the wrong one.
We're gonna get emails.
Yeah, but no, if you're a vegetarian that eats meat, then you're not vegetarian.
You're a hypocrite.
But if you're an Octolavo, you know, vegetarian, Octolavo vegetarian,
Octolavo,
then you are a vegetarian that has eggs and dairy product.
I have never heard that term.
Right. So there are many different types of vegetarians, right? There are vegetarians that eat fish. Go figure.
It's like 50 Shades of Vegetarianism.
I know, right? I'm vegan up to this point. I am personally I'm an ovine vegetarian. Because I eat cows that eat vegetables.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a vegetarian that eats bacon. So you can be any type of vegetarian you want up to the point that you say, I'm not willing to give that up. And then that's where it is. But no, so we have this whole spread of food for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And like every other dish is something that's vegetarian. And I'm just like, really? You know, we have one person, ate one plate. That was it.
There would have been one option at our table.
Yeah.
green beans with or without bacon?
Yes. There's no such thing as green beans without bacon.
No.
Right. My wife makes every year makes bacon-wrapped green bean bundles. That's her thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's all good. I'm sure Russell was out grilling. Did you grill this year for Thanksgiving or fried turkey?
No, I didn't. Actually, my mom did the turkey for us this year.
Nice.
But we did have bacon with green beans.
See?
There you go.
He's not
bacon with green beans.
I know, right? I'll have my green beans with a side of bacon. So, but say, since I've got you on the line, Russell, so what do you think about this? You know, we talked about Colin Kaepernick going out and doing his tryout, then moving it to his own school, wanted to do it his own way, and then the wide receiver gets a call up for a tryout.
Isn't that hilarious?
You know, it's just karma works in the best possible way. I just love that. So, and the Houston and Texans, second time in franchise history to beat the Patriots.
That was a big win last night.
That was a huge win.
Yeah.
We're now first in the AFC, right?
First in their division, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, first in the division.
Is JJ coming back for the playoffs?
No.
No, he's out for the year.
I read something this morning that he said over the weekend he might be able to play.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, in playoffs, that gives him time.
It does.
Right? Because when he got hurt, they said he was out for the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So if they do make the playoffs, maybe that gives him enough time to heal up and come back.
Yeah.
But I think it's pushing it.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. But, you know, they need him, though, if they're going to try to make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we've got – how many players do we have out on the injured list right now? Four?
Yeah, it's about four or five.
Yeah. I mean, we got a lot of players out. So if we're going to make it, you know, if we're going to make it through the playoffs, it's already going to be challenging.
Was the Patriots' sick roster a factor in the game yesterday?
No, I can't let them use that as an excuse.
Okay.
No, because we got five players.
Well,
out,
yeah,
four or five, mm-hmm. Right? We don't have J.J. Watt, right? So, Russell's right. You can't use that as an excuse.
I wasn't gonna. Yeah. Just axing.
Everybody's rooting for the Patriots not to win.
No, but that's just what a typical Patriot fan would respond with.
Which I am not.
I wasn't saying you were, but I was.
But that's the excuse we're going to use.
We're just going to put it out there.
Actually, you know what I saw the excuse was? That there were just tons of bad calls in the game. Just tons of bad. That was the excuse I was getting from Patriot fans.
Well, that's been all season long. Twitter. That's nothing new.
I know, but that's what they were saying. Yeah. It's like, if it hadn't been for all these bad calls, the Patriots wouldn't have lost. But we'll see. Yeah.
Coulda, woulda.
But tell you what, it's great win, and you know they're doing a great job this year, and you know,
I like the way the second and third stringers step up to the game when the first liners are out.
Right,
you know?
But this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to make a name for yourself.
That's right.
So if you're a second or third stringer and you come up and have the opportunity to play and perform well, you can make a career out of that.
That beats any tryout.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, but I just think Jordan Veazey is the guy. He's the receiver that was for Colin Kaepernick.
Uh-huh.
He gets called up.
Good for him.
It was by the Browns, right? In the Browns,
I think it was Cleveland.
Yeah, I think it was Cleveland called him up for a tryout, which I just think is awesome because nobody called Colin Kaepernick up, which was just awesome. Yeah. I just love that whole deal.
It's the ultimate karma.
Yeah, you know, right. And then your receiver gets called up. That's just the best thing ever. Anyway, all right. So wrapping up the show for this morning, a couple of things. We've got a new blog post out this morning on the website. We're going to be updating our technical analysis. We did not have a newsletter this past weekend. There just wasn't a whole lot going on, wasn't a lot to update. So we'll catch up on Tuesday, tomorrow. Technically speaking, we'll update all of our position analysis and everything else that's going on with the market. So make sure you get by the website. Make sure you're registered there. Simply click the subscribe button. Also, get our YouTube channel as well. We post a lot of videos to YouTube on a regular basis. We have some great podcasts that are out, interviews that we've done with very intelligent people that you can view. Also, we've got some really good ones that are coming up. We've got Ed Harrison, Seth Levine, and others that are coming up here very soon. So if you simply click on the YouTube channel link right at the top of our webpage, realinvestmentadvice.com, you can subscribe, and then we'll notify you by email when those new podcasts are posted. So those will all be on the line. But again, we'll kind of keep a watch out over today. You know, expect today to trade kind of positive again. There's a nice positive bias to the markets right now, which is good. But again, just be careful here. Markets are very overbought. They're very extended on a short-term basis. We're likely to have a bit of a correction here. Nothing major, but just an opportunity to maybe add some exposure for the end of the year at a little bit better price. So just be careful chasing markets here. Again, nothing's really wrong with anything. It's just the fact that we're very extended. And now with potentially trade war kicking back up, and this is going to be the real kind of – we got two big events that are going on this week. The impeachment – vote, but for Donald Trump, and the White House has said they're not going to participate. So this now kind of leaves the Democrats to kind of run the roost, so to speak, in terms of the vote. So that impeachment process is going to go on this week, and then now combine that with the trade deal and potentially a reinstatement of the trade war, and that's going to potentially ramp up volatility for the markets. So there is some risk to markets this week, so make sure you're prepared for that. Again, markets are very, very extended. Volatility index is extremely low. That's a prime setup for some type of reversion in the markets short term. So just make sure you're prepared for that. Take some profits, kind of rebalance risk. You'll be fine. And we'll keep you updated right here on The Real Investment Show. I'm your host, Lance Roberts, and we'll see you tomorrow as we get this week back underway and get ready to wrap up the month, wrap up the decade, right? This is 2019. We're about to wrap up the decade in just a few short days. So, Be back then tomorrow. Real Investment Show right here. I'm your host, Lance Roberts. We'll see you tomorrow. Chris Salcedo's coming right up. It's a rich man's world.